Yes, people, welcome back. Tim Morrison is on the podcast. So glad we made this happen. What an episode. We talk about shadow work. We talk about the intricacies of this work, healing, spaces of depth, and how he takes people on journeys into themselves to really reframe and dissolve a lot of the things that have kept them repeating unhealthy patterns and unhealthy habits. He's a man with integrity. I really feel him and how much he cares and how much he considers the spaces that he provides. He's actually on tour at the moment. He'll be in the UK on the 27th of April, so 1 month after this comes out. And please check his online stuff out. He's got courses. He's got level one and level two trainings. He has 3 month journeys. Yeah, I vouch for this guy. Even though I've not been in one of his spaces, I definitely feel him and the journey he's been on. And if you want to find out how to understand yourself, you go to the people who have understood themselves. If you want to find out how to fix something, go to the people that have fixed that exact thing. And Tim is definitely testament. His journey speaks to why he does what he does, how he does it so well, and the depth he can go with people. So enjoy the episode. I'll leave it there. I hope you're well. I do want to let you know that I have a men's online community that is opening up next month. Please head over to the website, link in the description, if you want to be a part of a community. I do believe, hand on my heart, that every man needs community. It needs men around him that can call him in, that he can be accountable to, that he can, yeah, seek counsel with, and for whatever reason, because there are many, you would need these men around you. I do believe that it can only possibly make you grow. It can only do wonders for you. And maybe it's for a month, two or three, or even longer, for transitions. Seeking support by the men is just a powerful way to get clearer on some of the things that hold you back. For me, I never actually integrated or came into balance with many of the things that did hold me back. The anger, the rage, the confusion, the unsettled emotions that were never really understood until I put myself in the arena with other men in a safe space and started to dive in and be witnessed and understand these things for myself in the light of other men holding me to account, but also calling me into myself. I can tell you more about the framework. Head over to the website. It's structured, but then there's a lot of free flow in this. Recently, just had my friend Doug Robson talk about stoicism, and we dived into that in the month's topic. It was powerful. Head over to the website, and I will happily jump on a call with you to flesh out a little bit more about the container. That is all. Over to the sponsors. Are you a coffee drinker? I am. I love it. It's one of the best things of my day. I love looking forward to sitting down with that warm brew, and I often use it to dive into some work or facilitate focus or connection with someone I share it with. So surely I should be prioritizing the best kind of coffee. And since I transitioned to Exhale, a lot has changed. All coffee, as we know, is not created equal. It's in fact one of the most sprayed crops in the world and has been renowned to be full of mycotoxins. But as I said, I think we all know that, right? My good friend Alex in 2020 set out to make the world's healthiest coffee without compromising on taste and sustainability. He dived into all the science and actually found that it is such an amazing superfood. They prioritize farming, sourcing, roasting. It's organic, it's specialty grade, freshly roasted and ground, lab tested over 9 times, and tested for and free from molds, yeast, heavy metals, packed full of antioxidants and polyphenols, which have been linked to reduce inflammation, heart disease, and boost brain function. If that's not enough to convince you to try Exhale, let me just add they are B Corp and members of the Soil Association. They have an impressive blog, weekly newsletter that they pack loads of useful health-related tips into. Go check them out. Link is in the description. What are you waiting for? Go, go, go. Use code CGP or click the link in the description for £10 off your first bag on a full flexible subscription. You can cancel at any time if you don't notice the difference. 450 bags of coffee, 30 cups for just £8. Beautiful. So the further we get away from nature and what's natural, the more disease, illness that occurs. I'm sure you'd agree, this is no different when thinking about your feet, which we often don't think about. What are we putting our feet into? They are the only thing that's connected to the ground at all times. They affect balance, posture, strength, mobility, all of the above. Now, preventing your risk of injury might be exposing your feet to varieties of different ground, different surfaces. Now, we do this in the gym. We stress our bodies to adapt. It's the same process when you're thinking about your feet. And if you care about your health, you'll definitely try some Wild Soul sandals. Yes, more friends of the podcast, Tom and James, started this company last year. They have handcrafted some of the world's finest sandals, UK produced from animal-friendly materials and shipped in recycled and plastic-free packaging. Now, I could talk about the benefits of footwear all day. These are close to as being barefoot as possible. I don't know anything else I would put on my feet that I would wear to so many different occasions, wear them in the warmth, in the cold, and it allows your feet to breathe. Like, they are the closest thing you can get to bare feet. Now, of course, you might have heard of Vivo Barefoot, but they're nowhere near being barefoot. These are Wild Soul sandals, and they are the closest thing you can get to being barefoot. When you're not barefoot, wear Wild Soul sandals. They have a zero drop sole that is thin and flexible to allow your feet to truly feel the ground beneath you, like millions of years of evolution wants you to. For form and function, you can actually select the size of the thickness of the sandal on the website. And the biggest functional difference between these and a standard pair of flip-flops, not that they should even be compared, but the adjustable straps hold your feet secure so your toes don't have to constantly grip part of the sole. The wide toe box and lack of constraint allows your feet to expand as much as they need to when you put weight on them. I know Tom hasn't taken his off for the last 2 years. He's never worn anything else. Use code CDP10 at checkout for 10% off. All the links in the description. Go get yourself a pair. It will change your life.
So how would I describe myself now?
Exactly.
Man, good question. I guess I'm just a man on a mission to just live an epic life, really, and just to embrace it all, to experience it all, and to just to kind of see what kind of path I can live and what I can leave behind as a legacy as well. And I've been through many, many iterations of myself. And even, you know, if you asked me if I would be where I am like 10 years ago, I would have thought you were absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm ever evolving, and I don't ever really like to be labeled as one thing, as this or that.
Yeah.
But there's so many variations, and there's so many possibilities of who I am and what I can be. For and sure. I like to explore all facets of who I am.
So on that, like bettering yourself, because I'm in this space now where I'm like, I just want to be better. I just want to constantly get better. I just want to refine. Mm-hmm. I want to improve minute to minute, month to month, like year to year. And if I'm doing that, mm-hmm. and I'm always looking back with that perspective of, you know, God, how naive was I last year, etc. Then that's success for me. If I'm just constantly improving, because there is no standing mm-hmm. in the middle, you're either moving forward or not. Mm-hmm. So on that, how do you make way for the new parts of yourself to come in, and how do you let go of the old parts that got you here but won't get you there? And if you refine that process over time, because that's one thing I'm definitely working with at the moment, to try and say goodbye to parts of myself that I'm very much, you know, they're very much connected with me, but in order for me to grow, you know, I need to Stop that.
Man, there's so many layers for how we can do that, right? And for some, it's simply having the awareness, and awareness always breeds choice. And so when we have the awareness about a certain pattern that's no longer serving us, we can start to consciously choose a new pathway when we see that old pattern arise. And we can just start to shift that way. It's a really, really simple process, but it depends how deep the pattern lies within us. Sometimes we need to do some somatic processes as well when it's like deeply lodged into us, right? So especially if there's, some nervous system dysregulation, or there's some wounding that's happened in the past, or there's unresolved trauma that still needs to be processed, that are keeping us in specific survival patterns, then we need to address those. We address those through ceremony, through like breath work, through plant medicine. You can do it through somatic practices, but anything that's really addressing the body and start to unwire and unwind the body, the unconscious, to release those patterns to create space for the new. And every level has its own devil, right? So it doesn't matter like what level you think you're at. When you're ever going to that next stage, there's going to be something there. There's going to be another glass ceiling that you need to break through. But what I've noticed is the more that you do it, the more that you lean into these spaces, the more that you go to these depths, the more confidence you create within yourself that your ability to move through these places grows. And so sometimes at the start it can feel quite daunting. But then as you start to move through and you go through, different practices where you can, release the past, release these things that are lodged within the system, when you reach that new level and there's that glass ceiling that's there, it feels much more easeful to break through, to move through, because you know that you've been there before. And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves that we've been through something like this prior, and asking ourselves, what are we making an issue? What are we making a problem that doesn't actually need to be a problem? Where are we dramatizing life for ourselves? And we can simply just choose a new pathway. And so for myself, I'm a big fan of creating the space for the new to evolve, and to that we're on this path of unlearning, of remembering of who we are before the world told us who we should be. And so a lot of the time we can clear out the old, clear out all that gunk, then we have this spaciousness. But what are we refilling in? And often what I'll see with people in the personal development scene is there's this focus on, I need to get rid of XYZ so then I can be something else. But they continue this perpetual cycle of like, what's the next shadow I can work through? What's the next wound? And they're just shadow hunting, they're just wound hunting, just keep digging for the next thing they've got to heal, when really they're at a place that they can grow from in that instant. And I feel people can get quite addicted with, oh, I need to release something to become something as well, when there's so much growth in reaching to your heights, in starting that business, in starting that company, or creating that startup that you've been wanting to do, or whatever that is, or starting that relationship. When people that are searching for like a conscious relationship, right? And like, I've got to heal myself so then I don't attract in something where I'm at. But it doesn't matter how healed you think you are, you're still going to attract somebody where you're at. And you can feel that you've done all the inner work, all the personal work, and then you get into a relationship, and then all those parts of yourself that you haven't identified will raise its head. And that's what the shadow is, right? It's parts of ourself that are in the unconscious, that by definition
You
that we
cannot
haven't
see.
seen. So I feel like there's people can focus on healing something to get somewhere, but getting somewhere is also healing something. And it's just seeing where you're putting your attention, putting your energy towards. And there's definitely feel like there's a lot of work to be done within your own personal self, of like healing, of like, creating more nervous system regulation, healing old wounds, healing trauma, attachment styles, all those things. But then also don't get hooked into just focusing on that. Like, people do this work to create more freedom. So once you do some processing, feel into the freedom that you've just created for yourself. Like, what does that feel like? What is the sensations in your body? How's your body signaling to you right now that you feel open, that you feel free, that there's a level of this new safety that you feel within your body, and live life from there, and then see what drops in. See what the imagination creates for you, of like, what is next? What is the future self needing for you to step into that path.
Yeah, I love that every level has a new devil. I'm surprised I've never heard that before. It's very useful. Just as a reminder to my friend Jamie has this saying, I'm healed enough for now. And it's just so subtle. But at some point you have to, stop so much of that. And I think, we were in that space where transformation and processing gets you results. It does. It really fucking gets you results immediately. Not that there's a quick fix, but there is something tangible, or else this kind of work wouldn't have picked up so much so quickly. And
100%.
yeah,
So,
it's go ahead, yeah.
yeah, so for me, it's seeing, it's understanding and knowing when is the work working. Like, what are the signs for you to know that the work that you're doing is working? Right. And so, early on in my career, on my path, I was all about the catharsis. Like, the bigger the catharsis, the better. And the more that I started studying the nervous system, trauma, realizing how much harder it is for the body to integrate huge catharsis. And often the more subtle nervous system shifts are what's more sustainable for people in their growth. And one thing I would find with people, and this is like early on, I was in like the tantra scene of like neo tantra and all that, and there's all this emotional processing and big catharsis and all the things. But then the same people would come in with the exact same things and they could never move past what they were going through. And I found it got really curious with why people weren't able to move through. If they were releasing huge catharsis and that was meant to be that healing, why weren't they able to move through without moving through? And people can become addicted to their emotions, to their emotional release, like the hormonal release that people get. They get addicted to that. Like, it feels good. There's this huge dopamine release that people get. So people can get addicted to that. And I think there's one part of it. Yes, there's this huge healing that happens. It's this freedom, it's this liberation. But then we also now understand that as we're mammals, right? So where we require community. So then people feel connected within the community that is focusing on this release, this transformation. But then who are they outside of that community? So people would prefer to stay within community because it's a sense of safety and keep processing, rather than branching out and finding somewhere else to where their energy is better suited, right? If it's like an endeavor that they're going after, new relationship, new business,
Yeah.
creating financial freedom for themselves or whatever it is. And this is something that I was seeing early on, and I got really curious of like, well, when is the work working? When is that work enough? And on one side of it, we all have our own healing time frame. So some people, there's an unlearning process. There's a lot of things that people need to move through. But I was also noticing that some of these people, so I know some of them personally that were coming in when I was, part of this kind of group, with that when things would come up for them outside of the workshop space, they weren't able to regulate. They weren't able to be with what was there. So they had to go and process what they were feeling right then and there. And they felt like there was this level of emotional immaturity that was there. So when I started to study more with the nervous system, creating resilience, and creating like true nervous system regulation, it was about like, how do we handle adversity? So for me, like when the work is working, when we talk about nervous system regulation, a lot of people think that we just need to be calm. That's when we're being calm. But nervous system regulation doesn't mean just always being calm. A healthy nervous system is a nervous system that can go into action, and it can go into rest without being stuck in either, where there's flexibility to go between the parasympathetic and the sympathetic chain of the autonomic nervous system. And it's our ability to handle stress, right? So we have this thing called the window of tolerance. And a window of tolerance is exactly what it sounds like, right? It's the zone of what we can tolerate in any given moment. So whenever we get a level of stress, our nervous system will go up with some sympathetic drive or some parasympathetic, depending on what the stress is, what our body's doing. But inside this window of tolerance, anything that's within that we can tolerate. We're not going to go into hyper arousal or hypo arousal. So hyper is, you know, panic, anxiety, fear. Hypo is, you know, going into disassociation, depression, going into withdrawal, things like that. So people with a small window of tolerance can't handle much. So it's like little small things just snap you and it pushes you over the edge. And things that shorten this window of tolerance are like unresolved emotional wounds, nervous system dysregulation, poor sleep, poor connection, not enough like time for yourself. And we can increase that by doing inner work where we're learning to create more resilience within the nervous system. We're healing old wounds. We're creating, we're discharging survival tension within the body. And so this window of tolerance expands, right? And so then as this window of tolerance expands, we can experience more of life without going into a survival response. So this is where I was like, oh, this is when the work is working, is when people are able to actually withstand, or they're able to tolerate more of life or be with more of life and feel everything without it pushing them into some form of a survival response.
Yeah, or
And so,
change something in their lifestyle. And then it not
exactly.
like rest, for example, if you tell someone
Yeah.
to rest, it might trigger that response because it's outside of their
Exactly.
tolerance.
Yeah. And for a lot of people that are in that in the hyper arousal, in the hyperdrive, they're like hyperstimulated all the time, go, go, go. You know, the type A people, people that love, you know, hard, intense workouts, love, you know, daily ice baths, all the things where they just go, go, go. Adrenaline is pumping. For them to come and soften and to come into stillness can feel unsafe for them because their nervous system is attuned to be living at a high stimulus place. And so the journey for that will for them to learn how to come into rest. And this is like where the balance is. And I'm talking balance like 50-50 balance. Everyone has their own balance point of finding what's there for them, right? But this is where I'm like, this is where the work is working, is when this nervous system regulation is there. So when something happens in life, they're able to be present with what is there without feeling the need to run away from it or to fight it or whatever is there for them. They can just be present with it. And I became like so curious with how this was looking. And this changed a lot of how I was facilitating and how I teach facilitators to facilitate breath work as well, of how to track the nervous system, how to track these arousal cycles to help them complete it, to discharge this nervous system tension, to help expand the window of tolerance, to create resilience, and to create more flexibility within the nervous system so that when they're outside of the workshop space, they're able to work with what's there. So one thing I was finding, especially early on, was that people would hold on to things throughout the week, throughout the month, and they would say, "I can't wait to come to your session because I've been holding on to this all month or all week." And I started to think, like, why are you waiting all month to let go of some anger? And it made me like go deeper into like what is happening with people, what is happening with their nervous system, where's this inability to work with what's there? And that changed the game for me for how I facilitate and for people to be able to work with what's there in the moment and not have to be in a workshop to do it, but to create their own felt sense experience of how do I regulate my nervous system to become attuned to what they're feeling within their body, to attune to the sensations of what's there. To build their capacity. So often what we'll find with people that have a lot of dysregulation within the nervous system, they'll have a lower capacity to process trauma, to process unresolved emotional wounds and things like that. So if we push somebody past what their nervous system's capacity is to process, then we're bypassing this natural release point, but we're also bypassing their need for safety within the body. And this can feel good at the time, but it can also create re-traumatization for somebody as well. And so this is a big part, right? Especially when there's like this huge drive for like this emotional processing, releasing trauma, which, you know, I'm all for. This is what I guide people with. But
Yeah,
it's
it looks great
also,
on screen, doesn't it? Everyone's like, oh, I want a bit of that.
but we also need to honor the individuality of somebody's
For
nervous system
sure.
capacity and their nervous system resilience and what they can handle and matching that point for them and
This is
allowing this
great.
natural
Yeah.
release to fold for them,
Absolutely. And
to not push
that's
somebody
in
into a release as well.
yeah, and that's integrity. I love hearing anyone say that. I'm like, you're waiting all because the side that I am not in favor of would be the facilitator who goes, "Great, I'm glad you're looking forward to the session." It's like, no, something's awry here. Something needs to be worked with. Why is this the case? Yeah, it's like, I don't want you to be my friend. I want you to heat. I want you to help yourself. You know, I want you to grow. Yeah, man. So, okay, I feel like there's a lot of people who are listening are just like, yeah, that's me. Yeah, especially they're always on. So, could we work with that and some like go there with someone who really identifies with always on? And then the process then for them to start like recognizing and like softening and really going into growing their window of tolerance, essentially.
Yeah, so this is it's an interesting question, right? Because there's part of it where I feel like for people to get somewhere that they're not, there needs to be, because people talk about a lot about balance. You need balance in your life. But I feel like to really get somewhere, there's always a cost, there's always a sacrifice of something to gain something else. And often to get somewhere new, there needs to be this extra drive where it won't look balanced to somebody else, but you need to put in the effort to get somewhere. So there's this part where that intensity is needed at times to put you forward, to get you somewhere. However, what we can look at is when we look at trauma, right? Trauma is how the body has responded to an event that created, this dysregulation within the nervous system and the body. So it's like a how the body has responded to something. So we've got big T trauma, which is, the acute trauma, the single events, the kind of shock trauma, which is, war, could be like a car accident, it could be something intense has happened really, really quickly. And then the small T trauma is often seen as like maybe insignificant, that, oh, it's not that bad, like other people had it worse. But it's this, it seems to be like this open wound that doesn't heal until it's addressed, right? And it's this wound of not being seen enough, not being heard enough. And it's these multiple smaller incidences that start to create these physiological changes for us, where we start to create these coping mechanisms for it. So we can see big T trauma as anything that happens too fast, too soon, too much for our nervous system to be able to cope and handle, right? So it creates this dysregulation. And the small T trauma is things that we might not have received enough of for too long. So it could be not enough safety, not enough connection, not enough being seen or heard. And so then we create these coping mechanisms for that. So part of this go, 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 this type A can be a coping mechanisms from unresolved trauma as a child, right? Where you had to become the perfectionist to be seen, right? You had to be always achieving something to get the validation or the approval from dad. So part of it is taking a step back and doing some work around early childhood wounding and seeing, was I made to ever feel that I needed to prove myself for mum or dad's love? Did I ever feel seen unless I was achieving? And looking through these and doing the work around that part to help to heal those old parts of the self.
I feel like that's most of us.
Yeah, there's
I
man,
feel
there's
like, especially men, I just feel like,
huge,
yeah,
right?
just the love that's given to you when you do win, when you are productive, it's so much bigger. I remember my ex-partner when she would celebrate me or like express love, I'd be looking around for like something I've done of like what's happened.
And that's the, it's a clear sign that there's something there to work through as well, right? And this is, part of why we do the work, so that we pass down wisdom, we don't pass down wounds. And this is especially as men. Like I got a young boy, he's 16 months, and really, really watching how present I am, making sure that I'm emotionally present, that I'm mentally present, I'm physically present with him. And and really ensuring it and watching what comes up for me when he is doing things, right? Because it's so easy, especially these like unconscious traits, the things that you're not even thinking about that just that come through. So the other part of like helping people to soften is learning some down regulating exercises. And we can just use a breath for that, where it's like a one of the most basic ones I give people is a restorative breath, which is breathing in through the nose for 4, long, slow, and silent out through the mouth for 8 or 6 to 8 seconds. But really, you want to make sure that you're exhaling out more than what you're inhaling in. And so you're breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth, and into the diaphragm. So, or into the belly, and allowing it to be a full diaphragmatic breath and allowing that to slow the system down. That's one that like if you have a stress, if you're finding it hard to sleep, it's a bit of anxiety, you can use this to help kind of calm yourself down as well. But sometimes as well, like this can just be masking what's there. So we want to address like what is triggering that anxiety, what is triggering that fear, what is triggering the active mind, and working through it that way as well. And so it can be multi-layered for people, right? And it's never like a cookie cutter approach. Like this is the one thing that's going to help you that way, because we need to address all these other parts for people, right? So some people might have this perfectionist part, they might have this need for approval. Some people might, they might have like a adrenal glands might be absolutely smashed, might be in adrenal fatigue, and so that stress level and the cortisol is smashing their body. So there's all these different ways to kind of look at how to address with someone. But on the other part as well, man, what I find interesting too is that, some of these, I was listening to a podcast a while back, and I can't even remember who it was with now, but he was asking him, I think it was with Russell Brand, and he was asking him, do you feel you would be where you are today without, the trauma that had happened to you as a child? And he was had this perfectionist, I need to always prove myself. And he's like, no way. And it's quite interesting, right? Because people can alchemize their pain and turn it into purpose. And the thing that is the deepest core wound can be the thing that
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's on
drives
my
them
website.
to greatness, mate. Yeah, the joint drives them to greatness, right?
Your message to
And
your
so,
message.
yeah, and so this is the thing, right? Is that what I'm noticing within the personal development field is, especially when it's around trauma, is that people are sometimes collapsing into trauma of being like, I can't do anything until I heal my trauma. What is this? What is happening in your life? What is it driving you towards? Like there's for myself, man. Like I was sexually abused by another boy when I was 5, right? And then later on by a woman. And I was super sensitive, right? I'd feel fucking everything when I was a kid. And then in primary school, I got heavily bullied for like 2, 3 years. When I got to high school, I had this change of like, I can't be like that anymore because it's unsafe for me. So I created this personality where I became wild and crazy, and I was getting into fights like on the street, going into gangs, and then I got into martial arts, and I wanted people to think that I was this crazy ass fighter, which led me into fighting in the ring. And then my fight name in the ring was training in Muay Thai was MC, which stood for Mad Cunt, right? Because I would train hard, fight hard, and I'd party hard. And so this wound that had happened early on for me drove me into fighting. And then through the success of that, I became Australian champ in Thai boxing for my weight division, right? But this all came down when I had a really bad neck injury that seemed to have come out of nowhere, man. And I'd had, like, there wasn't any hard hit, there wasn't like any big neck tugs. But I'd had 3 discs that popped out of my neck. It was C4, 5, 5, 6, and 6, 7, right? And one of the discs, 6, 7, had popped down, hit my spinal cord, and jammed a nerve. So I lost all the feeling down my arm. And I was at the end of a fight camp in Bangkok and came home. That was essentially the end of my career, right? But it was like, this was like the Big Mac truck for not, there was something there for me to look at, but fighting also became my distraction, as it also became a part of me that was healing at the same time, right? So it was like the poison and the medicine together. But because I wasn't addressing the deeper wounds, the Big Mac truck came. And there was multiple times throughout my career that I look back and go, oh yeah, that was definitely a sign for me to stop doing what I was doing, and that there was another path for me, right? But that early wound drove me to become an Australian champion of Thai boxing. And so there's these things that I feel people can collapse into, and there's other things we can go, what is the medicine of this that I'm going through right now? Like, what are the lessons that I'm learning within where I am right now? Because there is always something, no matter what you're going through, there's always a bit of gold in there for you to extract, for you to discover for yourself. And this is when we're coming out of this victim mentality of life is happening to me, like, poor me. I can't believe this is happening to me again. The world is against me. The universe is conspiring against me. And we move from this, like, life is happening to me to life is happening for me. What is life learning? What am I learning through this? What is life trying to show me? What are the gifts? What is the medicine? Then we start to sit here for a while. But to get from life is happening to me to life is happening for me, we need to take this leap of self-responsibility, which is the piece that a lot of people find hard to take because we're so used to blaming other people for our own pain. But when we take responsibility, we can't blame anybody else anymore. What happened to us might not have been our fault, but it's our responsibility for our own healing. And are you willing and ready to take that responsibility to work through and work with where you are currently at, and to accept the reality of where you currently are as well? Like, if you're in a difficult, tough situation, accept that reality, because there's no other way but through what you're going through. And when we can take that self-responsibility, then we're like, life is happening for me. Right? Life is trying to show me something. And then the next leap is life is happening through me, right? When we learn that we can open up and life is happening through me, that I am becoming part of life. I am this co-collaboration with life. We're working together, that the universe is flowing through me. Life is flowing through me. And I'm an open channel to where am I to move? How am I to be? How am I to serve? How am I to facilitate? Where am I to go right now?
I feel like I get doses of that. I have these moments where I'm like, okay, I can really create and go off on these thought experiments and really feel I'm so responsible to choose like what I'm really calling in. And just it is in my ability to choose and to commit and to be consistent in the action, but also just in the co-creation. I do have moments of that. Largely, it's the step before that I feel is more relevant, that I'm definitely the victor and I've changed that, and everything is an opportunity. On that, I feel the kryptonite is often the superpower as well. So the reason why you care so much and are so good at your job because you care for people is largely you might not have got that as a child, and it's like your biggest voids become your biggest values. So it is a it's
100%, man.
I don't know many examples where it's not the case, where the superpower of you being a champion is also the thing that got you there was not beneficial for you, you know.
And, like, peek back onto what we're talking about with, like, superpowers, right? So if you look at, like, the superheroes, there's a level of stress that they go through for their powers to activate, right? And we can see this within our own life, right? There needs to be a level of stress that we go through. And for the most part, right, we need stress to grow, right? We need this level of eustress. But when we go receive too much stress without the adequate recovery, that's when it creates distress within our system. But man, there's no way I could be doing what I do now if I hadn't gone through the life that I went through. And I had a loving mom and a loving dad, right? But there was things that happened along the way. There was things that happened to me along the way. A lot of, like, traumatic things. Experienced a lot of death at an early age, and had a lot of friends that died as well, that OD'd, that were killed, that were some went to jail, some, like, just died in, like, horrific car accidents. And there was a lot of death that I experienced as well. And even for myself, man, like, I was a judge's decision away from going to jail as well. And just thankfully, like, spirit was with me at that time, and ended up getting a suspended sentence, right? Where it was like a jail term, but given in community hours. And this happened when I was 17, and this was the part where, like, I was like, I can either keep pretending to be a wannabe gangster, or I could be focus my effort into fighting. That was this big, big shift for me as well. But even through this process of this of losing my identity as a fighter, I went into this huge identity crisis, and I came severely depressed, and I had suicidal ideation, all the things, man. But all these depths of darkness that I went through, these hitting rock bottom, allow me to really feel this part, right, and really embrace this. So that when I was working with people, I was familiar with that territory. Like I didn't have to go back there, but I could associate with that. I could understand where people were at. And that really helped me journey with people. And I feel like some of the people that I've met, some people that work with me, that are part of my support crew, and the ones that have gone through these really deep darkness always hold the best space for people. And so I feel like when people have gone through this, it creates this ability to be present with somebody else's darkness. And I feel this is what we need right now in this world, is one is to do our own shadow work, so we become familiar with that ourselves, so that this will lead to greater compassion, greater love for other people, and to be present with somebody else's process without needing to fix or change, but we can just be there. And it doesn't rattle you because you're so familiar with that territory. And I feel like we need this as a community. We need this as a society for people to meet this within themselves. Because often when we don't meet our own darkness, we project it onto other people, right? And it's so easy just to even scroll through social media and just see how much hate is out there, how much people love to talk shit about somebody else that is doing something with their life or something that they disagree with, right? And there is such a huge level of projection when people are unwilling to notice their own inadequacies or where they're not living their life how they want to be living, and then they want to project that hate onto somebody else. So I feel like when we can really embrace our own reality of like where we are currently at, what we are doing well, what we're not doing well, what we're really harnessing, what our dreams to go towards are, and we're not actually actioning on that. When we take the time to do that, our focus isn't going to be on anybody else. It's going to be on ourselves, right? And I love the quote, hate never comes from the top. And I love that because it's like whenever somebody's really driving for their own excellence or they're driving for their own success, they're never focused on people that are underneath them, or they're not hating on what somebody else is doing when they're trying to go upwards. They're not looking back, they're looking up. And I just love how that lands for me anyways, of hate never comes from the top, it always comes from the bottom.
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. I then start to think about those in control and where that energy comes from, which is kind of top down. But I think that's more fear than hate,
But
you
maybe they're
know.
not actually on top as much as you think.
I like that one. Yeah, I remember this a plant ceremony I did last year, and I had two ceremonies in the week, and the first one, I'm connecting with all sorts. It was incredible. I've never had an experience anywhere remotely similar. It felt more real than this right now. But what did I actually learn from that? I thought a lot until the next ceremony when nothing happened, and I had what I can only describe with my words and past experience as an anxiety attack. I'm not really quite sure what it was. But in that moment, I was like, fuck, you have this kind of like paralysis of, am I gonna return? Am I have to get on a plane in a few days and be in this state and have to explain this? And like, I was saying to myself, like, okay, I get it. I get why people do kill themselves, because I wouldn't want to live like this. If this was me, no. And in that, I was like, okay, so what's most important to me? What am I going to miss the most? And I really went into this experience like, fuck, I'm really going to miss certain things. And I was like, well, I'm not going to miss that. I was like, well, what am I going to miss the most? I was like, oh, how am I going to be able to relate to people if I can't even feel myself? Because I was felt so disconnected from my body. I couldn't even feel my emotions. I was looking around the room and I couldn't feel anything for anyone. And it was so frightening at the time. But I did come out of it. I did come back. due to the integrity of the ceremony, really, which gave me a new level of respect for these things. And then I bring this up because what I realized through that is I can now relate to someone in that experience, to someone having that experience just day to day. And what power in that. Like it was really,
yeah, how powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. That's beautiful.
I'd love to touch upon shadow work because, as you said at the beginning, and I was making some content the other day around this, around if you are aware of it, it's not your shadow. Because the whole concept is you cannot see this thing. So once you shine light on it, then it's your responsibility to integrate it because you're aware of it. But what are the biggest tools that you found around seeing things that you cannot see, or gaining more clarity on those shadow parts?
I think the most basic ones, which is, you know, anyone can really kind of do, is using our own reflection with other people.
Yeah.
So one is checking your judgments, checking your resentments. What do you judge about other people? Do you judge what they wear, how they express themselves, what they do? And that can be pointing towards what the parts of you that you haven't owned within yourself. And early on when I was doing shadow work, this is a piece that I was using quite regularly. So for people that don't understand what the shadow is, the shadow is a concept created from Carl Jung, and it's the part of our personality or part of our traits that we deem as unlovable, unacceptable, and we suppress it, we put it into our unconscious. And so this is created from a very young, early age when we're being socialized, right? When we're learning right from wrong, good from bad, we learn what's going to bring us love and acceptance, what's going to bring us pain and punishment. And everything that we learn is going to bring us love and connection. We create that as our personality, as if I portray this more often, then I'm going to be loved by mum. I'm going to have more connection to dad. So it could be that I'm going to be a good little boy. I'm not going to express any emotion or anger, because if I do, then I'm going to be told off. So I'm going to be this good boy that shows this part. And then the shadow would be, I'm going to put my anger into my shadow, because that is going to get me told off. That's going to bring me pain and punishment. That's going to create disconnection from me and my family. So then we form this shadow. But energy is always seeking expression, right? And whatever is in the shadow, it's going to come out sideways. And we often see this, especially when people have suppressed their own sexual energy, the leaky sexual energy that comes out, you know, can drive people to doing all kinds of wild ass stuff, right? And, you know, like a prime example is priests that, you know, molest boys and things like that, right? It's because they have cut themselves off from that, their own sexuality. And so whatever's in that shadow is held within there. But often when we speak about the shadow, people can have this, maybe this eeriness of it, like, oh, I don't want to go there, it might be too dangerous or might be too scary to look at. But the shadow is liberating. So think about all the energy that it takes to suppress a part of yourself that you deem as unlovable. And imagine just letting that go and allowing that shadow to surface and seeing what that shadow is there to express. Often when the shadow starts to express itself, imagine it, if you were ever pushed away or pushed down or told to shut up, or those feelings of like that kind of fuck you energy, that's what the shadow is going to come through with, because you've been holding it back for so long. But the shadow will want to speak, want to have its own words. But underneath, there's a reason, there's some medicine within that shadow of what it's wanting you to learn about it and what it's wanting from you. And so with the shadow, we can really basically look at what are we projecting onto other people. So we can see it in two parts, right? The shadow, we can see like the darker shadow, which we might deem as like our anger or our sexuality, or could be anything that we've been shamed for. And then we have our golden shadow, which is our God-given gifts. It's our hidden talents. It's our creativity. And we can see this as we project onto other people, of really admiring like artistic people, or really admiring people that get up on stage and speak. And there's this sense of inspiration that you get from them. And so this feeling of inspiration that we get can point towards our golden shadow. Also jealousy. When we are jealous of somebody that is out there and achieving their goals or living this lifestyle that we've always wanted, but we judge them for it. This can be part of that too. So we could be judging somebody that's living the laptop lifestyle, that's, sitting on an island beach and drinking a coconut, and you're kind of like, man, fuck this person. They're full of shit, blah, blah, blah. Whatever they're doing is a scam, blah, blah, blah. But really, there's this part of you that is seeking that freedom. You might not want exactly what they're having, but the essence of what they are expressing is this level of freedom. And so you could be craving this level of freedom, which is part of this shadow aspect. So one part is, by definition, when it's the shadow, it's we can't see it, right? It's in the unconscious. But as we shine light to it, we bring the shadow up, and it's still there, but for us to work with. But sometimes people can see the shadow but choose not to work with it. So it just stays within the background. They know that it's there, and they might just use it as an excuse now. Oh, this is just my shadow. But it's like, cool, I get that. But when are you going to integrate that? When are you going to bring that and receive its power and bringing that in? And I'll give a short description of like a shadow piece that I worked through, man. So when I was fighting, right, I had this part of me that I'd call the mongrel. And when we would go out drinking and partying, my mates would have this joke, be like, oh, is the mongrel coming off the leash tonight? Or is he going to stay on? And this mongrel was this part of me that was just wild, that was really primal, had like a lot of sexual energy, but just a lot of just like primal energy, right? And when I fought, when I trained, that was how I controlled, or how I thought I controlled, my mongrel, right? I was able to unleash in this way that had this like primal energy, right? Like hidden paths, wrestling, all that thing was this primal energy. But when I hurt my neck, man, I went from training, twice a day, 6 days a week, to not being able to move. And so the shadow was just like, what the fuck, man? Like, and then it would really start to come through, until I started to do some processing with it. And underneath this shadow piece of the mongrel was a lot of anger, a lot of rage, a lot of like, why are you keeping me hidden? All these kinds of things. But when I allowed it to come out, and we had this process with it, it was saying to me, where you're going in your life, you're going to require me. You're going to require my power, my tenacity, my strength, and my primal energy. And so I integrated that into my system, and I felt this complete shift in who I was, right? I felt much more connected to my body, much more connected to these primal aspects. And rather than needing to control it, it had become a part of me. And now I have a conscious choice of tapping into that whenever I need it. And this is like the power of shadow workers, right? Is that we integrate these aspects of the self that we have deemed as unacceptable, or that society wouldn't love, that we would be kicked out of community or whatever, right? But when we bring this in, it's like, how would life look if you knew that you would be loved for all that you are? And often we're being shamed for so many aspects of us that we don't want to feel that shame ever again, so we suppress it. And especially for men, man, like that primal aspect, those sexual urges, sexual desires, that primal wanting, that physicality, is like being tried to be bred out of men. And this like emotional castration that happens, and cutting men off from their balls, and cutting men off from their primal centers, when it's really like such an important part for men to be able to harness, to integrate into them. And
Yeah, just to bring love to.
man, yeah, and harness that, man. And that's, you become a safer man when you embrace it.
Be dangerous, but
This
not a
this
danger.
yeah yeah yeah
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's important and powerful. So how did it start to manifest just on that? How did, when you couldn't train, did it start to show up? This part of you, yeah.
Yeah, man,
Mongrel?
I was just not a very nice person. Like, it would just come out through anger, through outbursts, through yeah, just being a bit of a dick, really. And it would just come out through that way. Like, I was like, I just met my partner now, Sammy, like maybe a few months after getting neck surgery. And this is when all of that was happening. And then so like, I wasn't the nicest person to her either. And so, yeah, that's literally how it's expressing itself, was just this behavior. And I at the time I felt like I didn't have control over it.
Think,
Like I was feeling a victim to it until I learned to take responsibility for
yeah,
how I was
man.
behaving, what I was doing.
I think it comes in when you do lose that sense of control, and it can come with children coming in, and then you might relate to the new situation, which is hard and just challenging, being a dad or being a mom. But then, what are you actually losing? And it's control of those things that you just kept keeping up with, like your practice, your discipline, your routine. It was keeping you at that thing in you that is trying to express itself at bay. But then when, your external changes, it comes out right.
And I mean, and then going back to nurses and regulation with our window of tolerance, anytime that we get outside that window of tolerance is when we feel that loss of control. Right. And so like when we have these shadow aspects that are playing out, our window of tolerance can be quite small, and then something small happens and we snap and we don't have this ability to regulate in the moment, and we go into that stress response or into that feeling of being out of control. And an interesting thing happens, right? And when we're inside of this window of tolerance, our brain is functioning what we call like learning brain or thinking brain. But anytime that you're outside of this window of tolerance, you go into survival brain. When you're geared towards survival and how do I survive? So you perceive reality completely different to if you're inside your window of tolerance. You might see threats where there's no actual threats, right? And so this is a big part of it. When we start to gain more awareness around what is happening to us and how do we move through it in that moment to bring ourselves back into that regulation, right? And so we, especially when these shadow pieces start to play out, we can feel that sense of control. And what I've seen as well with people is that when they feel a sense of threat or danger, they may have this internal protector part, which could also be married with this shadow piece that comes out to protect them. So, for example, this muggle piece that was there for me, part of its message was that you need me to protect yourself. Like you can't protect yourself without me. But the issue was that it had become the forefront of my personality. So it was like who you are, like your authentic self, doesn't have what it needs to keep you safe and protected. So I'm going to be here to protect you whenever it needs. So anytime there was any level of stress or any level of perceived threat or danger, this protector, this mongrel shadow would present itself. And so we need to be aware of that, so that sometimes these shadow pieces can be the things that it's like can be trying to protect us, right? And we need to understand that all these parts of our personality, all these parts of our consciousness and unconscious, they all always have a positive intent. And that positive intent is to keep us safe, right? But sometimes the way that it keeps us safe is just unfavorable or might have been adaptive at one point in time, but now it's maladaptive, right? So one point in time, like protecting myself, this mongrel, if I was getting bullied to come out and protect myself was needed. But now there could be a perceived threat where say I'm having an argument with my partner, and it might not even be a bad argument, but it's reminding me of or reminding my nervous system of something that's happened in the past. So it's re-triggering that old trauma. So then this protector part is coming on play to protect me from this perceived threat when it's not the same threat as what is happening right now to in the past, but it is feeling that it's exactly the same to that same level, to that same extent. And this is where we can see those unresolved, emotional wounds, that trauma really, really play out for people too.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like parts work. Does that feed into this?
There's there's parts where there's IFS, there's somatic parts, which is, a whole modality into itself, but it's absolutely fascinating with it as well.
Do you think it's important to name and really like locate in like a psychological sense of what that part of you, giving it a name? I often hear like different names for the anti-you or the demon or.
Because we have our authentic self, right? Our true self. And then we have other parts of the consciousness. And
Mm-hmm.
so then we become witness of the other parts. And this is when we can start bring integration in for us as well. But we have to feel what's there and what's separate. And when we're talking with the ego, for example, like our ego is the identification of the self. So essentially we need it. We need to know who we are. It creates this level of time and space for us as well, and who we are right now. But it can also have this effect on us where it's trying to protect us and keep us safe, right? So by doing so, it creates this self-sabotaging talk. This inner critic, it's like talking down to us. But normally these self-criticism isn't the voice of us. It's the voice of internalized shame. And so when we can name it, we realize that it's not actually our own words that are shaming us, that it might have been from stuff that we've heard from our parents or from other people, but we've now internalized it. And that voice we feel is ours, but it's not actually ours. So when we name it, we can create that level of separation that's needed to be able to work with that piece and then bring integration in.
Yeah, that landed. It's so important to register who's that voice in your head. Is it even yours? Yeah, definitely my dad's voice in there very often. It's fascinating. Where do we go from here? So are you doing do you coach online? Is that one of the main things you do? Are you coaching like programs and things like that, or are you
Now,
doing
so I
more?
was, yes, over the last 18 months, been building out a breathwork school. So I run a breathwork training called Spiritus Breathwork, which is a style of conscious connected breathing. I received this style through doing medicine work, like years and years and years ago. But now I'm teaching people how to facilitate it, and it's we do it to help people discharge survival tension, to discharge nervous system tension through the body, to tap into older states of consciousness for healing, for transformation, for healing old wounds, trauma, all the things. And so I run an online school for that, and we do in-person trainings as well. And so I'm in Sunshine Coast now. Prior to that, I was in Perth, and it was all event-based. It was all like men's work, done some women's stuff, events. And then we moved from Perth to Sunshine Coast. My partner was pregnant at the time. And during this time, I created this online school so that I could be more present at home as well, not have to run so many events as well. And we'd also just come out of COVID as well, so the running events wasn't as possible. So that's the main thing. So I'm not doing any one-on-one stuff at the moment. That may change. But this last year and this year now has been focused on the training. And last year we came out to UK and Europe and done a tour around there, and we're coming out this year again to do that as well. So the main focus is in like the group work, the events, and the training.
And how do you help people integrate all the experiences when they come see you in person? Like, what does that look like?
So with the events, we go through a process of integration for them during the event as well. And so people, I mean, we give everyone tips and tools on how to integrate as well. And it depends on the event too as well. But there's always like an integration process for people. Some integration can be really quick, others can be longer. Like we all have our own healing time frames, and it's associating it for that for what they need in that time. But for the most part, man, most people integrate quite quickly with the work that we do with people, just based on how we do it with the nervous system for people.
How do you think it differs your work? What makes it so unique to, obviously you're there, but what's the one thing that you say that you would say it kind of, I don't want to use any business words, but it's more like what's the flavor that you bring, do you feel? How would you kind of describe that?
Good question, man. Like I've had people ask me before, like people ask, what's different between you and somebody else's training, or what's different between you and other events and other thing. But like, I never really focus too much on what other people are doing and how it looks. I just focus on what I bring. I know, like within Australia, there wasn't anyone doing like cow and breath before we started, or doing so we loop everything like multi-instrumentalists as well. So like people weren't doing that as well. So in Australia, we're like the pioneers of these kind of events as well. So yeah, I mean, I feel like it's just the flavor of me, really, of who I am and the energy that I bring that would be different to somebody else. And I feel we all have our part to play. Like not everyone's going to resonate with what I do or how I do it. And not everyone's going to resonate with what you do and how you do it, but we all have our part to play, right? And so some people will be attracted to stuff that I do, they won't be attracted to what somebody else does, and all the things. So I'm a big proponent on calling in the people that are a fit for what I do, that are looking for that deep dive, that are looking to do that inner work, but doing it in a trauma-informed way, and that are wanting this, more sustainable change that's happening for them, rather than just looking for like a one trick shot kind of event, which I know there's like a lot out there. But I really like to create like a model of understanding for people. So I feel like the more people understand about what's happening for them internally, what the process is, then the more they can soften and embrace the experience of what they're going through. And when people can learn how to do that, when the big things arise for them in the moment, in the journey, they can work through it rather than just being like, oh, fuck, like what's happening to me kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. I'd love to know if you've had any pushback from the mainstream, or like, has there gone?
Yeah, man, I definitely have. Yeah, and I feel like there's probably more than what I've noticed as well. There's definitely been people that will comment things on social media, but people just don't, they don't, they judge what they don't understand. And it's like I'm all for it, man. It's I know part of my path is to initiate people onto the path, and however that needs to look, and getting into the mainstream, there's gonna be pushback. And especially like when I was doing men's work, when I first started men's work in Perth, a lot of it was like really feminized men. There was like people that were doing men's work that would like talk about things but never get shit done, and there was just like this dramatization of things. And then I was like, man, we need to shake this shit up and make it something completely different, and broaden that real deep primal aspect of wrestling and breath work, all the things, big group processes, all those kinds of stuff. And often I would get guys come in, and that would be like your normal kind of either be a concrete, or they'd be like on the tools, all that kind of stuff, and they'd be in that mindset of being a hard man and not being allowed to show your emotions and all that kind of stuff. And they like might have come in from like their partner buying it for them, or the partner kind of pressuring it, of being like it's an ultimatum, you need to do this or we're done kind of thing. And then I would notice when people come in, you can feel judgment, you can feel the questioning or the not knowing. But then as soon as they come in and they hear me, and they feel who I am and hear my story, they're kind of like, oh, this guy's like the real deal. And then they'll have their first session, and then their mind would just be completely blown. And so I'm like, man, people can have pushback, they can have it, but come into the space, and like I know that if you show up whenever you come into a space, that you'll have a life-changing experience. You'll have a shift in your consciousness where you won't see life the same ever again. And so I feel like anytime that you are on the fringe of something, then you're going to get some level of pushback. And this is for anyone that feels they're on that fringe, to embrace it. Because if you look at history, there was a point in time where there was these huge shifts in the way that we've done things. Like, even look at the Wright brothers that started flying, and people thought that were crazy. But now there's hundreds of flights that happen every single day all over the world. And
Well,
so,
yeah, there's so many examples of that.
yeah, like if you're on that fringe, then just know that is part of the parcel that,
Yeah, and you just your experience is, you know what you see, you know what you feel in the space.
yeah. And I've been through way too many experiences, especially with the unseen realm, to know that it's anything different other than what I'm experiencing. And this is what I love about breath work, right? Is that people can have their own, like I can sit all day and talk to people about breath work, about the science, about, the spirituality or the shamanic side of it. But when you have your own embodied experience of it, nobody can tell you any different. Like you've had your own felt sense experience. You've felt what it does. You've felt the shift in your body, in your consciousness of what is happening for you. And when you have that own embodied visceral experience, nothing else can change. And it seeds into you, if this is possible, like what else is possible? And this is like the stuff that I love about this work is helping people shift out of these survival responses or this survival way of thinking to this openness, this creative way of thinking of like, I don't need to be in this victimization anymore. Like I don't have to see life as this, the world is against me, that I'm in such a bad place, but how good can life get? Like if this is possible, what else is possible for me? And to see, to start to shift your awareness to see life through that way of what would your next big leap look like? What is life calling you towards?
Yeah, what can you
And
imagine?
like what is there for you? And that takes work, that takes dedication, it takes commitment, takes devotion to really embrace that. That's what I just love about this work, man, is that it shifts your consciousness to that, right? And my biggest thing, man, is what I love is I love to explain to people, give them that model of understanding, but what I love is to direct people to their own level of truth, right? Not to receive my truth as the ultimate truth, but what is your truth? What is true for you? And for you to just discover that for yourself, for you to really feel that, to uncover that for you. So we all have our own personal truth, but there is that one ultimate truth. But where are you towards that? And what is your path in this life? Like how do you integrate into society? Like what is your role to play while you're here on earth? Like I'm very clear with what my role is to play at this given time, right? That can shift and change like as it has over the years. But what is
Do you
your
feel
role to
like we
play?
create that for the most part? Do you feel like it's on us to create it?
I feel part is we create it, but it's also all working within us. So for me, what I'm doing right now, there's no way. Like if you told me when I was fighting that I would end up doing this, I would think you're absolutely crazy. I would have been like, man, fuck that hippie shit. There's no way I would have been thinking it. But I needed to go through something that awoke these gifts within me. And what I found was when I started to get into real alignment, and it was like this thing with spirit, with the universe, where anytime I would come outside of integrity or out of alignment with what this path was, something would happen. There would be a little bit of sickness or there would be an injury that was like, you're not fucking listening. You need to be direct on this line. So I feel there's a part where we can create it for ourselves, but it's also working within us. But that's where the alignment needs to come, right? We might think, oh, I want to be a billionaire, but that might not be in alignment for what's there for you, right? We need to like create something, but also be in the soul alignment too. And
Yeah.
otherwise, we'll have
Listen.
we'll still have this internal separateness, and we'll feel that distortion. So people will be like, oh man, what is my purpose in life? Like, but it's something for you to discover within yourself. And sometimes that purpose is just being a good husband, right? And sometimes our purpose doesn't need to always match with how we make money. But sometimes our purpose could be being a good father. But it's like what is fulfilling you? What is making you feel satiated? What is bringing you closer back to just feeling this own self-acceptance of who you are? and following that path and being open to change, right? Like even this year, man, I had everything planned out, and I've always been a bit of
Same.
like planning things out. And I was like, all right, this year I'm gonna future plan. And I like planned out up until like September, and the amount of things that I've had to shift and change has been crazy, man. And I'm just like, well, it's gonna be open to pivot. And
Yeah,
so I
I feel
think
like this year I was like calling things in bigger than ever, and I was ready, you know, I was really calling in like me being ready for some big shifts. And then it just felt like, yeah, it's not the right time. Like whether it's me or outside of myself, something's not quite right. Well, I don't know what that is, but it's like I'm not going to force something. Constantly force like the transformation. If it's not right for now, that's okay. You know?
I feel like when you feel that, is allowing yourself to take a step back, allowing space to come. And all these shifts that I've had to make, I would make them, and sometimes at the time it didn't make sense to me because my mind wanted it, but my intuition was telling me something different. But when I follow the intuition, it didn't make sense at the time, but then a month, 2 months later, what had shifted, something else had taken its place that wouldn't have been able to come to fruition if I hadn't made that shift months prior. So there's this like trusting in the unknown
It's hard.
and knowing that we have our plan, and God has their plan. And it's there's some things that are completely out of our control. And we love to be in control, right? It's part of the ego. We want to be in control. It creates a sense of safety for us, a sense of security. We want to be in control of what's happening. But for me, man, what I've noticed, especially when I'm being on this path and being deeply connected to spirit and being like like a foot in both worlds, is witnessing how much guidance there is from spirit and trusting in that. And the times when I've gone against that, when things have gone terribly wrong, as a bit of a lesson of like, just trust. Don't trust the mind in this at this time. Trust what spirit is guiding you towards. And it can be hard when you're scaling business, when you're like got other people working for you, when people need to know things straight away, which have been interesting. So I've like gone through like an internal team shift. Because then, like, I was needing a team that were able to work under pressure, that could work fast when hits of things were coming really quickly through for me, and when things would come through like last minute kind of thing, which doesn't happen all the time, but there's just that possibility that like sometimes there's just no clear answers of what needs to happen until right now. So it's one of these things, man, where you really just need to trust in that unknown. And let go, like relinquish that control of how things need to be, and open yourself up for how things could be. And sometimes how things could be are things that you could never conceive before in your own mind. And these are the things that I find really open up your awareness and your connection to infinite possibilities and potential, is when something happens greater than what you expected, simply by trusting in the process.
Yeah, for sure. It's hard, man, because I'll speak from me, a part of me feels, am I being tested to show up for this thing? Am I being tested? Is it hard because it's just I need to prove how much I'm all in to this thing? So it's an event. Is it me being tested and I just need to keep showing up for it? Or is it not right for now and it needs to be decided that it's not working and I need to, just make space for something new to come in and trust that it will. And it's that dance. Like the more you lean in and maybe change something that you do something different that you haven't done and pay attention, then you'll know.
I think the more that you attune to the sensations or the physical responses of when it's intuition, and attune to when it's like a stress response or doubt or things like that. Because sometimes you'll have an event on and it'll be like things aren't flowing, but maybe there's like an energetic block that needs to be moved for it to flow. sometimes it's the universe and saying, like, are you all in on this? And things are going to happen at the last second for you. Or it's saying, the time isn't now. The time's not right. But if you're feeling like the intuition could be saying, just hold on, things are going to shift. But your experience in that moment could be, this isn't going to work, and self-doubt and stress comes up. And so you feel like, oh, this is where I need to pull out. But I think this is part of the journey, right? Is knowing that you're not going to get it right every single time. And I feel like the more that you attune to it, and whether you get it right or get it wrong, it just strengthens it. Because then you start to go, oh, that was definitely a trauma response. That
For
wasn't my
sure.
intuition speaking to me. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the biggest part of the conversation, right? Of listening to that and making decisions not based on how you're seen and how it's going to look, because that can be the biggest fracture in your own ego of how it looks on you as a failure or as someone who can't commit or whatever that pattern is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you a question around something we touched on earlier, around stopping things in their tracks in terms of what was passed to you. There's a great phrase that goes, it ran in my family and it ran through my family until it ran into me. And then you can stop it. Is there anything that you feel that you are going to pass down to your son that you can't work through in this lifetime?
Nah, man, that's nah. I feel confident in meeting anything that's there, and I'm facing off with it as soon as it arises. So I feel like through, like, that personality trait, then I'll be able to work through it. And then the other interesting one is, like, genetics that get passed down too, which can be, come from, my mum, my dad, their parents, where it's passed down through genetically through changes, or expressions of the genome, or the DNA that can express itself within my child. And they're the things that I don't feel like I'll be able to change. But anything like behavioral traits, then yeah. But also creating space for him to be who he is, and really just nurture that.
Nice, man. Great, good answer. You're so knowledgeable, brother, and it's been an absolute joy to ask you questions and just dive down the rabbit hole. It's been beautiful.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I appreciate having me on.
Yeah, honestly, so much. This has been a great episode. Where can people find you? Obviously, you're coming to London, April 27th. Other than that, where can people, reach you?
Yeah, best way is Instagram is where I'm most active. And that's just Tim Morrison, two underscores. Or website is www.tim-morrison.com. Yeah, if you're interested about the breathwork training, you can just find a link for that on my Instagram. We do like 3 month online trainings. We do a level one, level two. Yeah, it's probably the best way is Insta.
And is that working with you on those trainings, or do you have a team? Is it like sectioned off? Like, how does it?
Yeah, it's me, and I have a team as well. So I've got another head coach, and I've got a small support team that assists through it as well.
Beautiful, man. Yeah, great. Any final last words?
Nah, feel complete.
Good. Beautiful, man. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Welcome.
Thanks for listening, people. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel. This is the best zero cost way to support. If this podcast is providing you value, please get further involved by donating as little as £3 a month over at my Patreon. If you do this, you will get free bonus content, invited into a private WhatsApp group, and jump on monthly calls to dive in to topics covered in recent episodes. Of course, only if you want to. In addition, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening and leave a 5-star review. This helps the podcast tremendously. Or send it to a friend or someone you know will benefit from this episode. If you have any of the questions, comments, or people you'd love me to get on an interview, or even topics you want me to cover, please say so in the comment section over at the YouTube channel, link in the description. Please check out the sponsors I mentioned at the beginning, two brands who I wholeheartedly support, World Soul Sandals and XL Coffee. For discount codes, links are in the description. There is also a link in the description where you can subscribe to my monthly newsletter, where I share musings and info about events and discounts. If you want to share any episodes, please do so over at Instagram. Tag me in your stories, the.chris.geisler. Thank you. That is all. Thank you for your interest in conversations to help us all remember ways that once served us and redirect us back into connection with ourselves and the places we go.